Hello again. Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch from Concordia Seminary. My name is Jeff Kloa. I teach New Testament here. And the pericopes that we have for the next 3 weeks in Series C in Lutheran Service Book, sorry, I had to think what the hymnal was, in Lutheran Service Book, the next 3 weeks, second, third, fourth Sundays after the Epiphany, will come from 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. So we have a nice opportunity to get a sustained passage and see how the argument develops and its full range of implications. You might quibble a little bit with how the pericope system splits this up, although it's not too bad. 11 flows into 12, I think, pretty clearly. You might want to split up actually 1 to 11 and split it all the way down to verse 26, and then 27 to 31, where he speaks more broader church rather than local church, and then into chapter 13 where the solution comes. But, you know, you got to split it somewhere, so this is what we have. We'll just have a longer pericope next week. Now, a little bit of background. 1 Corinthians, of course, all kinds of problems going on in Corinth. Chapter 12, 1 begins with perid de in the genitive. And so what Paul does, he does this a 7-1, 8-1, 6-1. Perid de introduces a new topic, probably a list, a laundry list that he had received from Corinth. Some of them coming from Corinth directly. Some of them maybe he heard about indirectly. But 12 to 14 is another independent sort of section of 1 Corinthians, just like 8 through 10 is dealing with food sacrificed to idols. 12 to 14 is dealing with the problem of what happens when they gather for worship together and they have divisions over who is more important in the assembly, in the ecclesia, okay, in the church is the word he's going to use. So the problem of disunity is the problem being manifest in their gatherings for worship. The problem of unity or disunity, of course, is the main problem in chapters 1 to 4. And now there it's about leaders or divisions sort of over who's more popular as a leader. Here the divisions over who of the individuals within the worshiping church are more important. Now, so Paul's going to do a lot of yelling in this section. A lot of correcting, and the solution is actually in chapter 13, which will come at the end of our three-week series here. All he's doing in chapter 12 really is setting up the problem with a bit of a solution, which is only a anticipatory solution to chapter 13, which is love, or at least where it gets articulated clearly. You probably are going to have some questions preaching this because this doesn't look much like what most Lutheran, heck, most Western congregations look like on a Sunday morning. I think we can bring this into our present day setting without too much difficulty if we focus on the big picture. So what you want to avoid in a pericope like this is spending a lot of time on the details because the details sort of don't matter. It's where Paul wants to take the congregation that is key here. So verse 1, right away, perid de ton pneumatikon, concerning the things belonging to the Spirit. And I translated that very specifically. It's a genitive, of course, being governed by the perid, concerning the spiritual things. But notice it does not say spiritual gifts. And I think that's a helpful distinction to keep right away. Because as soon as you start talking spiritual gifts, now you start talking about the focus becomes on things that the Spirit gives me. What Paul is actually talking about here is the things that belong to the Spirit. And I think that's an important distinction to make. They're the Spirit's things to do with as he wills for his purposes, and you actually are the least important part of this equation. That's the argument he's going to make here. because the Spirit is going to do things for his purposes, and that will be to build up his body. You, the person who has what the Spirit gives, are irrelevant. That's the whole point of the argument. And the problem in Corinth was the individuals were thinking of themselves more highly than they ought, were pitting one gift over against another as if they had more spirity kind of stuff. They were more spiritual. That's the complete opposite of what Paul, what the Spirit does. So the first three verses set this up, actually gives the framework, the centrality of the Lordship of Christ. So concerning the things of the Spirit, brothers, Adolfoi, so he's talking to the baptized here, ou thelohumas agnoi. I do not want you, fellow, always takes the accusative, the complementary, takes the infinitive, the complementary infinitive, agnoine. I don't want you to be ignorant. You probably hear what he's getting at is, I don't want you to continue to be stupid. Because what you are doing and thinking now is ignorant, is agnos. You don't know anything, and it's evident by the way you're acting. Oidata hati, you know, and this is a very cumbersome sentence. The manuscript tradition is all confused, as you can see. The Latin tradition has a very different reading here, which we don't have time to get into. You see hati, hata, which look very similar and sound very similar and had confusion. It got deleted, exchanged. Maybe there was a correction. The hati, if it stands, is introducing the content of knowing. So oidata, you know that. Now, where's the verb? Eta, imperfect from a me, probably the best grammatical. So let me read this here. Hata ethne eta pros ta idola ta aphana has on agistha apagamanoi. Best way to probably take this is that eta is periphrastic with the participle apagamanoi, the aorist participle, present participle there. So when you were being led around, so eta apagamanoi, toward the idola ta aphana, the mute idols, the unvoiced idols, you were led, agistha, wherever, anywhere. So let's put this in English. You know that once, as Gentiles, you have to supply something there, you were being led around toward the unspeaking idols all over the place, hither and thither, you know, any which way direction, no rhyme or reason. You're just wandering anywhere, and because you're being led by idols, by mute idols that had no voice, that could not speak. It's going everywhere. No purpose whatsoever, because they're nothing, these idols. He just got through with this in chapters 8 through 10. Idols are nothing in the world, chapter 8. Okay. So what his point here is, don't return, you Gentile Corinthians, which is what the Corinthians were, at least the church in Corinth, they're mostly Gentiles. The way you're acting actually looks like you used to act when you were Gentiles. You have no rhyme or reason. You have no purpose in your speaking. Because you're wandering, because you have not the right God, not the right Lord. At least you're acting like it. So the solution is in verse 3. Dia, therefore, gnerizro, I make known to you, I'm telling you because you don't know, that, again, given the content, udesen pneumatitheul alon lege anathema Jesus. No one, nominative, udes, speaking en pneumati, here expressing means or agent, by the Spirit of God, just so we know which Spirit it is, the Spirit of God says, anathema Jesus. And no one is able to say, dinatai ipine, the infinitive there, complementary infinitive, again, no one is able to say, Jesus is Lord, Kyrios Jesus, eime, except, you see eime quite a bit, and it's a little idiomatic phrase for except by the Holy Spirit or Spirit of God. Now, notice this is very common in Paul. We saw this last week in Romans 6. You only have two categories. Either you are in Christ or you are not. You are either speaking by the Spirit or you are not. You either confess Jesus is Lord or you say Jesus is cursed. You are either for me or you are against me, to use Jesus' language from the Gospels. And so here's the problem in Corinth. The way they're acting in their speaking is evidence, or at least strongly hints, that they are not speaking with the Spirit of God and hence confessing Jesus as Lord. If they were confessing Jesus as Lord, they would live as his body with him as the head, which gets fleshed out beginning with verse 12. But the fact that they are in competition with each other, tearing one another down, biting and devouring one another, using their gifts to their own purposes, makes it look like they have a different spirit, and therefore, as if by their actions, they are claiming Jesus be cursed. That is very strong language Paul is saying here. So the point is, this is not merely, oh, as long as you say Jesus is Lord, everything's okay, but the way that you manifest your faith either confirms or denies that Jesus is in fact Lord. That is to say, you live in the gospel or you don't. You are walking straight to the truth of the gospel, Galatians 2, or you are not. So 1-3 actually solves everything in Corinth. He does the same thing in 1 Corinthians 8-10, where the first three verses is the solution to the whole problem of eating idol foods. And then he just lays out the argument in chapters 8, 9, and 10. Well, he does the same thing here. The solution is Jesus is Lord, just live like it. That's his solution. Now, how does he solve the problem specific to Corinth? Verse 4. Dehyrasis de charismaton eisen ta de auta pneuma. So, dehyrasis. There are distinctions, is probably, hyrasis is divisions, but dehyrasis, so distinctions. I hate to use a word like diversities. That's too American. Yeah, there are differences, maybe. There are differences of the charismaton. Now, here's where you get gifts. There are differences of the things given, and I think I'd rather translate it that way rather than gifts, because as soon as you say spiritual gifts, people get all wacky. So there are differences of the things given. Tada auta pneuma. Now, Paul will use autos consistently here in an attributive position, following the article and before the noun as a demonstrative. So there are distinctions of the things given, different kinds of things given, but there's one spirit because there's one Lord, right? Tada auta pneuma. And there are distinctions of servings, plural, diakonion, different kinds of servings. And again, I don't want to say things like ministries or something because people get all wacky. Different kinds of servings. And the same kurios, Lord. So this is where he picks up verse 3 again. One Lord, the same Lord. So one Lord, one Spirit, one purpose, one goal for the different givings and the different servings. Notice he draws these in parallel. Well, and now you get the third verse, verse 6. It's a nice Trinitarian move, actually. Kai dihairesis ener gematon eisen ha de atas theos ha energon tapanta en pasen. So, and different kinds of workings here in a sense of miracles, powers, but the same God, the one working all things in all. And this is often, very frequently, Paul will describe God, Theos, as Father, the one who encompasses all things, created all things, is in all things. He does the same thing in 1 Corinthians 8, actually, I think it's verse 4. So notice how he moves from Spirit to Lord to God. So Spirit, Son, Father, and ties it all together, all from the same triune God, all working his purposes, singular purposes, and you can't kind of trump God, the one who is working all things, tapanta in Paul always means everything, all of creation in everything. And in Pasen here is interesting because is that a, what's the reference? You know, he doesn't flesh out in all creation, in all people. I think it's really just simply all-encompassing, who is all in all, in all matters, in all things, in all the world. He's the reigning over all things, and I think that's really where the focus is with verse 6. All right, verse 7. Hekastore derati he phanarosis tu pneumatas prosta symferon. Okay, here's the purpose now of the giving of the gifts. So symferon is the key phrase, right? To each individual in the body, which he'll develop in verse 12, is given didymied, so there your givenness again with the gifts, the phanerosis, the manifestation, the appearance, the manifestation, I don't know, that's probably the best one, of the Spirit, so they're owned by him again, verse 1. Here's the purpose, so prosta, for the purpose of the symferon, for the purpose of the upbuilding. I don't know the best way to translate this, but it's the same word he uses in 6:12, where he talks about, again, contrasting the problem in Corinth. Let me find that here, 6. 6:12. All things are permitted to me, but not all things build up. There's the verb form. Not all things build up. That's the problem. The Corinthians are saying everything is permitted to me, but Paul's point is if it's of God, if it's of the Lord, then it will build up others in the body of Christ. Same thing in 10:23. All things are permitted to me, but not all things build up. This is the problem. The Corinthians were going their own directions, enhancing division, but if it's of God, it will always build up the other, build up the body of Christ. So why did God give gifts? Why did God give the manifestations of the Spirit? It's for the building up of his body. In other words, he doesn't give you gifts for your benefit. He gives you gifts, rather, he gives the church gifts to build up the church. That's the point. So now he's going to explain it. Hamangar, dative singular. So to, for to him, probably here to each one. Hikasto is the referent. To each one through the Spirit is given. And now he's going to give you these dehyresis. So the word of wisdom, but to another the word of knowledge, probably here speaking of wisdom. To another, speaking of knowledge, according to ta auto pneuma, the same Spirit, 12:9, heteropistis and auto pneumata. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Pistis, when Paul starts talking about Spirit, is usually going to be faithfulness. That is, faithfulness toward each other. It's not, so in other words, it's a horizontal thing, not a vertical thing. Same thing he does in Galatians 5 with the fruit of the Spirit. So to each, he gives faithfulness by the same Spirit. To another, the charismata, chiamaton, enta, heni, pneumata. Gifts of healing by the, now here, single Spirit. Textual variant, of course, is going to be an autos, but by the single Spirit. So notice the contrast he's given again. He's constantly playing off the individual givings versus the singleness of the Spirit and his purposes. All these givings are for the building up of the other person. So the speaking of wisdom is for the benefit of the other person. The speaking of knowledge is for the benefit of the other person. The faithfulness is for the benefit of the other person. The healing is for the benefit of the other person. Everything is, well, same thing Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it continues, so I should keep going. Allowed energemata, dunamaon, to another working of powers, miracles. This is what gets picked up from verse 6, Energeimaton. To another, prophecy, alodiakrisis. To another, a distinction of spirits or discerning maybe of spirits. Here, again, what the heck is this talking about? It's not, you know, is there an evil spirit of smoking and an evil spirit of weight gain or something like this? But one spirit versus demonic spirits is what's going on here. Is it of God? Same thing with prophecy. Is the prophecy of God or is it not? To another, gene glosson, kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Interesting line of interpretation in the early church on this passage. In Western Christianity, we take this as sort of incoherent spirit talk. But in the medieval church and in the early church, they routinely took this as speaking in different languages, a la Acts chapter 2, where someone speaks and it's heard by others in their own tongue, sort of a thing. What exactly is going on, Paul doesn't flesh out, except later on when he has somebody walking into their worship service and they're babbling. So it's somehow unintelligible language. But again, is that sort of this made-up spirit language or is it a foreign language? It just isn't clear enough. Now, Paul knew, the Corinthians knew. What's the key here is that these are not the goal. The goal is not to speak in some kind of foreign language or spirit language. The goal is to build up the other. So I don't care how you define this. I don't care what you define as miracles of healing. The point is always the benefit of the other person. And that's what he does in verse 11. But all these things, Ponte de Tauta, all these things, the one and the same spirit, tahen, neuter, numeral one from one heismia hen, the one and the same spirit works. It's the spirit doing it. Dehirun, here the present active participle, neuter with the spirit as the antecedent, the spirit dividing, separating to each. Now, here again, there's a variant, idea hekasto, to each individually. Is that the emphasis? You don't actually need both. But anyway, to each individually, just as buletai, he desires. Now, you kind of don't have a lot to go on yet because he's not being entirely constructive. He is deflating the Corinthian position, right? So the Corinthian position is, I got cool spiritual stuff, look at me. And my cool spiritual stuff is better than yours. What Paul does is he says, there's one God, there's one Lord, and there's one Holy Spirit, and the Spirit has his stuff for his purposes, and he works his stuff. You don't do it, and you don't use it for your purposes. He does it for his purposes. There's no sense in this passage that any of these gifts are owned by individuals, that these gifts are sort of characteristics that I have, sort of talents that I'm given when I'm baptized. Nothing like that. Rather, the Spirit gives for his purposes when and where he wills in order for the sumpheron to happen, the upbuilding to happen, rather than the tearing down that is now happening in Corinth. So, what do you do with this passage? Well, I don't know if you're in a conflicted situation where people are puffing themselves up and thinking that their gifts are better than each other. This is what Paul is dealing with in Corinth, and he's deflating that puffy thinking. Another track you could take with this is what he does in the second half of the chapter, in chapter 12, is to encourage those who think that they are worthless and that the body is going to be built up by the Spirit and every part will be important. This is what he develops in the second part of the chapter. I think the main focus here, though, is on the sumpheros. Let all things be for the upbuilding, because this is the work of the Lord of the church working through his Spirit to bring about his kingdom now manifested in this body of believers. Let all things be for the upbuilding. And so this could be a positive encouragement for a congregation. How do we decide what to do? Well, in a lot of ways, there's Christian freedom in deciding this, but the ultimate goal, if it's of the Spirit, will be for the upbuilding, will be for the strengthening of one another. That's a pretty good criteria, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. So verse 7 might be where you focus. Let all things be for the upbuilding. Now, we'll have much more to develop, of course, in chapters verses 12 through where it goes, what was it, verse 31 at the end here. The focus in the first 7 verses is this Trinitarian, God is doing the work for his purposes. All right, we'll stop there. Thanks.